Will you pray with me, please? Loving God, open our eyes, open our hearts to you. Help us, God, to know you. Help us to walk in your footsteps, following Christ. Amen. This past week, living inside of a hotel and forgetting that the outside exists, apparently there was a great big holiday in this country. I think it was on Thursday. Anyone want to fill me in on what I missed? Were there like fireworks? Was anything happen? Okay. So as we know, the 4th of July is when we celebrate one of the times throughout the year that we celebrate this country. And what is it that we are celebrating? A little history test. What happened? What year was it? July? Oh, I heard someone say July 2nd. Yes. Oh, there you go. Yes, the Continental Congress voted for independence on July 2nd, 1776. There was all kinds of drama about when we would celebrate Independence Day. All kinds of drama. It ended up on the 4th, which, of course, the signing of the Declaration of Independence, I heard someone up here say. Are you shocked that this country was founded on some drama? Anyone? No? All right. So this is when we celebrate independence. This is when we celebrate our freedom. And yet, we remember that only some of us got freedom in 1776. It would be 89 more years before freedom was a word that we could say with integrity in this country. And yes, that was before any of us, and yet it is our legacy. And don't hear this as an attack on this country, but on a reality of what it means for those of us who are American. Being American is not something that I take lightly. Being married to someone who chose to be American as opposed to many of us who just happened to be. A choice that was made. You know, we see people who we might call immigrants. Some of you might have talked to a particular immigrant sitting right here operating our camera and say, where are you from? His answer is always, ain't from around here. The history of this nation is complicated. The history of all nations is complicated. But let's remember as we celebrate our freedom, as we're still cleaning up bits of, you know, firecrackers and things from what we find in our yards, as we're celebrating, as we do in the summertime, that we did not get freedom until everyone was made free, and that means that we are not yet free. We have seen great strides in civil rights even in the last few years, but we don't get to have true freedom unless everyone gets to have it. And that brings me to these footprints that our little saints got a little nervous telling us about this morning, but it was a wonderful activity that they did. Creating, if you look, and I encourage you after service, please not right now, to get up and follow the footprints and read what they say. Read the words that these kids came up with on their own. Tell the truth. Pray. No excuses. Courage and faith. Those are just some of the examples of what are written on these feet. So we have this book that we are going to be looking at this throughout this month, as you've heard, The Four Agreements. Thousands of years ago, in the region in southern Mexico, the Toltec indigenous people were known as the people of knowledge. So the Toltec peoples flourished a couple thousand years back. They were, prior to the Aztecs, to give you if you give you an indigenous people's timeline a little bit. And the Four Agreements is a modern telling of some of the truths that came from this ancient wisdom. This is a wisdom that has been passed down for generations and generations and generations through oral history, and then nicely packaged in a way that we can understand it today. As I mentioned at the beginning of service, your journey through July in our sermon series will be enriched by reading this book, but it is in no way obligatory. If you're not a big reader, that's fine. You're not going to feel left out. We're going to give you everything you need. But if you do want to read it, the books are available to you. So today we are talking about the first agreement: be impeccable with your word. When we hear the phrase, be impeccable with your word, what do you think of? Does anything come to mind? Just shout it out. Lorraine says, say what you mean and mean what you say. So I heard someone say, telling the truth. What's that? Your word is your bond. Excellent. To be impeccable with your word means all of these things and more. It includes honesty, which is what we heard examples of, but it means something more, something deeper. Do you remember that saying that you heard as a kid, sticks and stones may break my bones, but... yeah, words will never hurt me. That is a lie that we teach our children. We are not being impeccable with our word when we tell our children that words cannot harm them. So to be impeccable with our word doesn't just mean we won't repeat that little saying to children, but we recognize that words have power. As the Gospel of John says, in the beginning was the Word. God spoke us into being with words. Don Miguel Ruiz, who wrote this book, The Four Agreements, tells us the human mind is like a fertile ground where seeds are continually being planted. The seeds are opinions, ideas, and concepts. The word is like a seed, and the human mind is so fertile. He goes on to say, the only problem is that too often it is fertile for the seeds of fear. Our bodies have evolved around fear. That feeling of anxiety that you feel in a stressful situation, that is because back when we all lived out in the open, anxiety kept us alive, kept us alert. And today, when we get in our air-conditioned cars and drive to our air-conditioned offices from our air-conditioned homes, that feeling of anxiety has also evolved. And we think somewhere deep in our minds that it is what's going to keep us alive, but often it's what gets in the way. Am I right? Fear, anxiety. Fear can bring about falsehood in our lives. Fear creates a narrative in our minds, and that narrative can kill our compassion, our reason, our ability to live loving, fulfilled lives. Don Miguel Ruiz points out that fear corrupts the word. When we live lives of fear, isn't it easy to jump to conclusions? When we are impeccable with our word, it doesn't mean that fear goes away, but the words that we give it change. So what does this word impeccable even mean? Peccatus, from Latin, means sin. The prefix im always means without. To be impeccable means to be without sin. So that's a high order, right? Anyone without sin? I wasn't really raising my hand. What is sin? Sin is the thing that harms us. You know, in churches, we hear the word sin, and sometimes people just shut down and can't hear anything else. Ruiz talks about sin as anything that is destruction of yourself. A sin is anything you do that goes against yourself. Everything you feel or believe or say that goes against yourself is sin. Think about that. If sin, as we know and teach in Christian tradition, sin is what separates us from God, how do we separate ourselves from God but by going against ourselves? It is our nature. It is who we are. It is who we were born to be in relationship with God. So when we harm ourselves, we sin. When we harm ourselves by judging ourselves and blaming ourselves and telling ourselves again and again and again that we are not worthy and we are not good enough, we are committing sin. Now, that doesn't mean we're committing sin and then we're even worse. No, it means we are committing the sin of not letting ourselves feel God's love. The punishment for that sin isn't that you go to hell after you die. The punishment of that sin is living in that place of self-hatred, of self-doubt. We sin when we harm ourselves, when we are impeccable, when we are without sin. Our words can be trusted. And I'm not only talking about not lying. I'm talking about trusting ourselves enough to say, I am lovable. Can anyone say, I am lovable? Yes. Can you say that you are worth God's love? Amen. Now, what's even harder is to say those words and truly believe it. If I attack you with my words, or if you attack someone else with your words, does that attack end there? No. If you cuss at someone or yell at someone, do they go on with their day feeling great? Feeling loved by the Lord? No. Our actions and our words must be impeccable, because that is how we communicate God's love in this world. If I am angry, I am experiencing emotional poison. Anyone else experience emotional poison in your lives? You know what it feels like when you carry anger? You know what it feels like when you're mad at someone, really, really mad at someone, and you carry that anger for a long time, and then you run into them, and you've been working hard at this anger for a long time, and they see you, and they're like, hey, I haven't seen you in ages, how are you? And they didn't even know that you were mad. Oh, how awful that is, that you've been experiencing this poison for so long and didn't have the ability to share it with them. We create this hell for ourselves when we blame ourselves, when we blame others, when we get caught up in the mess that comes from not being impeccable with our word. When we are impeccable with our word, we recognize the value of Christ's message, the value of this call again and again and again to follow Christ in the way of compassion, love, following Christ into wholeness. That is what it means to be impeccable with your word. Being impeccable with your word means being a good steward of your resources and of your energy and of what comes out of your mouth when you speak, and not just when you're talking, but when you're typing away on Facebook. Right? Because I can be a super sweet person, right? Can't we all, face-to-face, be super nice? But there are those moments, especially when you have insomnia. 3 o'clock in the morning, you're like, oh, I'm gonna let them know how I feel on Facebook. If we choose to be impeccable with our word, we will still have difficult feelings. We will still experience the poison of negativity. It's not that bad feelings disappear and go away forever. But we learn how to be whole in that. So we can hold our brokenness. We can hold our sadness. We can even experience a little bit of that poison, but we choose what we do with it. We are impeccable with our word. So we do not harm ourselves with the message in our heads again and again of, I'm not good enough. We don't harm our siblings our siblings in church, our siblings out in the world. We are all siblings in Christ, and we do not harm one another with that poison. On Friday, at the Worldwide MCC Conference, we installed a new moderator and a new governing board to our denomination. Now, many people don't follow denominational politics, and that is fine. But those who have followed it a little bit, or maybe seen a little bit on Facebook, know that for the last 3 years, 3 years ago, I came back from conference super excited, enthusiastic. I myself, newly elected to the governing board of MCC. None of the governors elected at the last general conference made it to this one. All of us resigned, and then again, another group resigned. At the last general conference, we did not see the skies opening up and crying for this experience that we had. At the last general conference, we failed to elect a moderator, and our denomination for 3 years went through a period of grief, an uncertainty, a decline in our churches, a decline in giving at the denominational level, a true crisis of identity. There is a renewed hope now. As one of the many people who, for many reasons, had to step down off the board, I will say to you that it was not easy to be at conference, because we're not always good at being impeccable with our word. But I will say that I was terrified to show up there and know what people would say to me as a governor who resigned. And there is no shame in realizing that you are in over your head in a situation that is not good for you and stepping out of it. That is the truth. That is the word that I showed up with, knowing that I had promised all of you that if that job got to be too much, this is my place that I am supposed to give all of my attention. And I'm glad that I did what I did when I resigned. And I am so hopeful for this new board and this new moderator. 3 years ago, we all said the same promise, we as a global denomination, as we said this Friday, promising to support the governing board with our prayers. And at that time, there was no moderator, but this time, we also promised to support our moderator with our prayers, to truly cheer them on, to want what is best for all of us. And a lot of people were not impeccable with their word. And it made it hard for us. And now we need to pray. We need to pray, not that those people get it right finally. No, we need to pray that we as a universal denomination see that God has put a word in our hearts and that we are called to be impeccable to that word. We are called to love Christ. We are called to be the church. MCC is not done. MCC is not over. There was hope in that space this week that we have not felt in 3 years. This place, whether this is your first time in an MCC church or you've been part of MCC for 40 years, this is sacred. There are teenagers on the streets of Tampa and every other place who are homeless today because they are queer. There are people who are contemplating suicide right this very minute who need us. There are people who are starving. Their bodies are starving. Their spirits are starving. And we have food. We have literal food that we can give them, and we have spiritual food that we can share with them, and we must be impeccable with our word to make it happen. When we are impeccable, when we are without sin, that doesn't mean that we are perfect. It means that we commit to doing our best. Will you do your best? Come on. Tell me, will you do your best? Will you pray? Even if you've never heard the name Cecilia Eggleston before today, will you pray for Cecilia, our new moderator? Even if you were hoping it was going to be Liz or Tony, will you pray for Cecilia? Even if you don't understand what a governing board is or does or care at all, will you promise that you will pray? Because it is important. You can just trust that our Chad Hobbs is going to have a hard job ahead of him with seven other people who will become family to him and all the mess that makes family, the joy and the struggle. Will you support our denomination and our local church with your prayers? Because those words are where Christ is calling you to be impeccable. That means not judging or blaming yourself, not drinking that poison, but living in a way that lets you know within yourself that God is calling you and you are worthy. Amen.